Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
I just don't have enough time to do what everyone's asking me to do. Everyone seems to have a demand on my life, and I just can't get it all organized. You ever feel like that, dear listener? We're tackling the Lord's calling today in our lives of servants and to be servants in the callings that He has given us. Such an important subject for us as we look at the book of Exodus chapter 4 and Moses' struggle to go and to be sent to do the Lord's will and deliver Israel out of bondage. It's a remarkable passage because Moses has a series here of objections in which he wants to avoid that calling, and the Lord will not have it. The Lord is sending this servant to do the will and accomplish the task that He has given him to do. We hope this is a blessing to you. Do please visit us on the web at agradio.org. The web address is agradio.org. The phone number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. You can write us by snail mail at P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264 for Abounding Grace Radio. Thanks again for tuning in today. Now, here is part two of what I have titled, Send Somebody Else, Moses' Objection to the Great Calling that He had given him from Exodus chapter 4, and we hope this is a blessing to you.
They come in here. You won't be a faithful witness to Christ with your heart until it's in your heart. What's the issue right now with Moses? Faith. Faith in God's word Himself. God just said, this will happen. That's a promise in my book, right? When God says something will happen, He just made a promise. You've just given me, though, Lord, an absolutely impossible task. So here's on one hand, you have the promise from the Lord and an absolute impossibility, humanly speaking, right in front of you. What do you do with that? How in the world will they ever believe me? How in the world will I ever convince them when I go there? And if they say, well, the Lord has not appeared to you, what do you expect me to say? What do you expect me to say to that? It's kind of fun beating up on Moses, isn't it? I could beat up on him really good tonight. But you know, we're a lot like him. You ever wonder how often we do this to the Lord? God said all sorts of things in His word so clearly to us. I want you to think about this with me just for a moment. God said so many things clearly to us in His word. We immediately begin to think, how does that work? That really won't work. Let me give you some. God said something that I have always found remarkable, inspired something in 1 Corinthians, and I still don't think I understand the full implications of it. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. God loves to use a really foolish, weak means to save, and He's told us, that's why I put together a church, that's why I put together this, that's why I send someone to do this. It's all over the scriptures. Don't you think if we really believe that, church would be packed? Don't you think if we really believe that, pastors would give themselves all the more to preach it? Don't you think if we really believe that, we would take every chance we possibly could to just sit under the message because that's the way God chose to save those who believe? Don't you think if we really believe that, we would be there and we'd say, I'm never letting my kid miss that? We have a whole host of excuses. If God said, you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth, and he's about to show us, I have absolute control of the human heart. I turn it, I hold it, everything about that human heart is mine. Don't you think we would have more confidence to be witnesses? Do you think if we really believe that God was in control of everything and that he's enthroned and seated over all and we look at a world that's spinning out of control, it might incite us instead of fear to pray? One of the elders said to me the other day, they said, you know, why don't you just pray against ISIS from the pulpit? I said, I should. You know he can take them down. Yep. Do I believe that? Here's Moses. Lord, they're going to say that you didn't appear to me. I mean, you want me to go? And they have no validation of that. You want me to go and tell them you appeared in a little desert shrub out on the backside of some mountain. They're not going to believe that, Lord. How many times do we look at a situation and say, well, what if this and what if that? And the fundamental issue is not about what might happen. The fundamental issue is whether I believe the word of promise. They will not believe, God said, they would. Who's not believing here? That's the issue. Moses. How do you think God should respond to Moses? This is a pretty blatant rejection of his call to believe and trust in the Lord. I mean, this is a pretty blatant rejection. I don't know how else to look at it. They will, they won't. If I had a kid do that to me, I don't know if I'd take well to that, you know? I do have kids do that to me, by the way. Angels don't do that. This thrice holy God who's a consuming fire. So what does God do? Notice your God. This is why I love the Old Testament. You study the character of God. Notice your God here. So what does he do? Verse 2, the Lord said to him, what's that in your hand? He said, a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, put out your hand and catch it by the tail. So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. We read these and think, they're not that really amazing of signs. I mean, they are, but they aren't. I mean, God could have picked up Sinai and threw it out in the ocean, you know. God could have done something really, really, really remarkable. But we find that the Egyptians could do some of these things. And that's where I think we have to understand exactly what God was doing here for Moses. None of what God does in terms of the plagues and in any of this stuff is abstract, meaning it has a specific intention in Exodus. And if we don't get that, we miss the glory of Exodus. The snake was the symbol of Egyptian power. The snake was the source of Egyptian wisdom and healing. They would put it in healing, and you'll think here of the leprosy. You think of... they would put it, as we looked at last time, the uraeus on the crown. All the gods of Egypt, if we look at it, many of the gods of Egypt are portrayed as snakes. And in fact, the scriptures validate this. Ezekiel 29, son of man, set your face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, O great snake. Serpent who lies in the midst of the rivers, who has said, my rivers, the Nile is my own. I've made it for myself. I will put hooks in your jaws. Then all the inhabitants of Egypt shall know that I am the Lord, because I've been a staff of reed to the house of Israel. You'll notice in verse 20 that this staff that God has for Moses here is called the rod of God. We just sang out about that rod, by the way. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Oh, I see Christ. The rod is his powerful shepherding rule. You're going with my rod, Moses. You're going in my power, Moses. I hold kings. I hold kingdoms. And you're going to take that sign of my power with you, and you're going to rule in the midst of that land. What a sign. And you're going to cast it down. It's going to become a snake, and you're going to take hold of it. And he adds another. Leprosy. Dreaded by everyone at that time. You didn't want to get leprosy. Your limbs fall off. Put it in. Pull it out. It's white. Put it back in. I control health. I'm the God who controls the body. We'll look at all this. This is coming on the plagues. And then he goes and he says, take a little bit of water and dump it out, and it'll become blood on dry ground. Now, he would never use that particular sign, but it did anticipate a much bigger sign. The Nile was one of the greatest gods of Egypt. Guess what God was going to do through Moses? God, his whole cabinet, Pharaoh and his royal cabinet, would go out every morning, and they would sing this song to the Nile. And we have this from archaeologists. Hail to thee, O Nile, the issues that issues from the earth and comes to keep Egypt alive. God's going to turn the whole thing to blood. What an amazing thing. What did he just do? He just answered Moses' fear. They won't believe. I'll show you. I'm going to throw down signs on them that they've never... Oh, they'll believe. You don't have to worry about that. I'll take care of that, Moses. What an encouragement. You ready to go now, Moses? How does Moses respond? But Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent. Either in the past or since you've spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and of tongue. What in the world is that? I can't speak. Moses, we'll give you the words. I'll give you the words to say. I'm going to be with you. My rod is going to be in your hand. I'm going to deliver. You're not alone. Lord, but I can't speak. I want you to notice here, a wooden translation. I'm not eloquent. Here it is. From yesterday, or from 3 days ago, nor since you have spoken to your servant. In other words, since I came to this bush a few days back, you have not rectified a real problem in my life. You've not fixed something in my life. I'm not a good speaker, and since I've been standing in front of you, you still haven't fixed it. I'm not eloquent enough. I don't know what to say. What kind of eloquence was the Lord asking for, you know? Verse 13, here's what you say. Let me spell it out for you, word for word. Say to this people, the Lord God, the Lord of your God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. That's what you go say, Moses. All you got to do is give the report. All you got to do is report. You're a reporter. You're a postman. You deliver the mail. You're all worried about results. I'm with you. It's a success. But I'm not eloquent. Have you caught the two ironies yet in this? The first is the Lord says, they will believe and listen. Moses says, no, they won't. Moses isn't believing or listening. Second irony, I'm not eloquent. I can't speak. Here's the irony. But he has a lot of eloquence to backtalk Yahweh. I mean, this is remarkable eloquence to backtalk God at the burning bush. It's reasoned, it's slick. He's totally avoiding the call. He has single-handedly turned the conversation to complain against God. We're learning something about Moses, we're learning something about us, you know. It's remarkable. The greatest excuse we all use not to witness is, I can't speak. It's what everyone says. I can't speak. I'm not eloquent. You know, leave it to the pastors. What do you expect from the Lord? He's so long-suffering, isn't he, with us? The Lord responds in verse 11, who's made man's mouth? Who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I? That's a remarkable verse. I determine all these things. You go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. What God is saying to Moses is this: I have formed you, I made you, I designed you, I knew you, I formed you exactly the way I want you to be. Who makes the mute, the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? So in other words, listen to this: whatever physical limitation you have, whatever sickness, whatever weakness, whatever lack, whatever excuse you want to put, God ordained it for you, all of your abilities, inabilities, and disabilities, as one pastor said. Sovereignly appointed. And if you consider it a weakness, praise the Lord, because that's where he wants to show the excellence of his power as it rests upon you. That's what Paul said in the thorn in the flesh. I pleaded with the Lord to take this thing away from me, and he wouldn't do it. And I did it 3 times. And then he said, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to boast in it then, if that's the case. Imagine if we thought like that in all of our circumstances. Everything that's given to us is an opportunity for the power of Christ to rest upon us. We love to blame circumstance, inability, afflictions upon everyone else. The Lord says, I'll be with your mouth. I'll even train it as you go. He's so wonderful, isn't he? So long-suffering with us. How encouraging is this? Moses, I've called you to my service. I'm going to go get my people. This is the most exciting thing. Ready? Lord, send someone else. What's truly amazing is that God gets anything accomplished with us. I mean, really, the greatest obstacle to going and getting Israel is this servant's hard heart. And now we're at the real issue. Now, games are over. It's all real clear. All these excuses have been answered. It's all real clear. It's not about your concerns. It's not about your success. It all has come clean. You just don't want to do it. You just don't want to do it. You don't want to get out there and do what I've called you to do. You do not want to submit to the will of God. You do not want to really do that prayer, not my will, but your will be done. And you see it in the way that God, Moses is talking to God. Notice that Moses won't use all capital letters. In other words, Moses won't use the holy name as he's speaking to the Lord. Notice they're small letters. And let me just say, at this point, when you're giving faithless responses to the Lord like this, now you're ready to meet the anger of the Lord. Did you catch that verse? For the first time, so the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Not the same word as consume that he later used to consume some outside the camp, but it aroused his severe displeasure. When there is direct, defiant disobedience to the Lord, you can arouse his displeasure. Moses needed to learn that. He needed to learn that to lead people out too. There are certain things you can't do. God takes pleasure in obedience. He hates rebellion. And even in this, look at what God does. Okay, is not Aaron your brother? I know he can speak. I'm going to deal with this one more later. He's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he'll be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him, put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth. I'll be with both of your mouths, and I'll teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. Moses would become a bold prophet before Pharaoh. Now, I stop tonight, and I think, you know who wrote this, right? Would you ever want to record that about yourself? Moses is the author of that, which tells you it's inspired, by the way, because you'd never put that down about yourself. You would put your down as a striking, obedient person. What do you think the Lord's after from his servants? Well, they say that years ago when John Calvin did not want to stay in Geneva, William Farrell tried to stop Calvin from going to Strasbourg and said that God would curse him if he refused to help the Protestant churches in Geneva. And Calvin says he was struck with terror and gave up his journey and went back to Geneva. That's not really the way you want it to go, by the way. The Lord wants sincere, obedient hearts. Think of the picture at the end of this. We'll come back to this next week. Moses takes his wife and his sons. Just picture this with me for a moment. He rides on a donkey with the rod of God in his hand. And he rides through the desert and he returns back to Egypt, and God is going to plunder that whole nation through a little lowly shepherd on a donkey. And now you know where I'm going. A lowly desert shepherd on a donkey, holding the rod of God in his hand, plundering the mightiest nation of the world and conquering the serpent. Sound like a story you know? Sure it is. I wonder what it was like for the disciples, and I'll close with this. When one day Jesus says to them, go into the village in front of you and immediately you will find a donkey tied, a colt. Untie and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. I've always thought to myself, what? Oh, here's my donkey. The Lord needs him. See how in control? And he sets on the donkey. And all of that was fulfilled to say, behold, your king is coming to you. Humble, mounted on a donkey. No back talk. Behold, I've come. In the volume of the book, it's written of me to do your will, O God. The whole way on the donkey, he rides right up on into Jerusalem and he goes to the cross. And do you know what the cross was called? Golgotha. Because there, it was the place of the skull where the head of the devil was crushed, the serpent. And he did that because he loves you, and he became the cursed one, and he rose, and he today took that rod of iron, and now he rules all the nations with a rod of iron by the rod of his power. That's Psalm 110. And you know what he's asked of you today? He's asked of you this. I've saved you. I marched in there for you. I delivered you. I pulled you out of Egypt. I plundered that nation. And I brought you out with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. And I heal. I have power over the lepers. You see it all through the gospel. I have power to deliver you from all of your sins. And what does he ask of us today? In response to the great grace that we've received, you shall be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. This earth needs to hear that. And I've left you with the greatest sign. It's the sign of my resurrection. All authorities and principalities and powers right now, the Lord wants you to know, they're all under my feet, he says. I hold hearts. I've led captivity captive. I've given gifts to men. I hold human hearts. I can change them. Are you confident in my plan? Are you confident in my power? Are you confident in my ways? Are you confident that I have designed you and made you just for what I have intended for you? So that means your purpose then is not to live for yourself. We should be about the will of our Heavenly Father, as Jesus was about the will of his Father. He's been so patient with us. He's created us, fashioned us, knows us, all your abilities, inabilities, and disabilities. Every circumstance, he knows, he holds. And he's called you to be his light so that men would see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. The Lord is your defender. What can man do to you? May we learn, and I close with this, may we learn to live out more and more, and this week pray to him and understand what it means, not my will, but your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray to him. Heavenly Father, thank you for instructing us in your good will for us, and we make all the excuses in the world and they're sinful. And we ask that you'd forgive us for being sinful and ultimately wanting to lead isolated lives for ourselves. Give us hearts of servants. And let us be eager and willing to do your will without any back talk, and to be confident that you're with us, that whatever you've called us to do or who to speak to, you've given us the words and you will give us the words. That we have everything we need by your power and are so thankful that if Christ reigns, we reign and we share in that rod rule. So that the end is already, yes and amen, the end is already determined. We are victors. And it's as good as if we were already there because Jesus is there. Be with us this week and let us be confident that we are witnesses of the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who rose victorious and conquered sin, death, the devil, and the grave, so that we today might live in the power of his resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. Once again, 888-504-8805. Or contact us on the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Connect with us on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station or subscribe to the AG Radio podcast in iTunes or use our free Android app. Thanks for listening. And remember, where sin abounded, grace abounded more.
Are you still there?
You can't live the Christian life by yourself. Even the Lone Ranger had a buddy. Jesus founded a community, people with whom to share the Christian faith and the Christian life. One place to find it is in the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, Escondido. Sunday services 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. 760-745-1679. 760-745-1679. On the web, eurc.org. Don't be a Lone Ranger.